Hello, welcome to Alaska Radio Reader Rambler, your monthly potpourri of literary snacks for the minds and interviews. I'm Sandy Harper here with my co-host Dick Reichman and three wonderful guests. We have a real treat for you today. In fact, all that glitters is gold because we have three representatives from the museum, and as we're going to find out what's going on during this interlude, what they're brewing, or what gold. What do you do with gold? You smelt or gold?
Well, anyway, smeltering.
That's right. All glitters is gold. And I'd like to introduce our guest. First of all, we have Sarah Henning, who is the PR director for the museum, and she's got a lot to tell the public about. Then we're very privileged also to have Ron Holstrom, who is the guest director for playwright Joan Kane. And we're going to hear all about this special theatrical offering that's going to be part of Gold. So why don't we start with you, Sarah? Why don't you tell us a little bit what's going on and what we can expect?
Well, we're really excited. Our new expansion building opens up on May 30th. It's going to be a free day all day. And we're just really excited to throw open the doors and let people see this building because so many people in the community have spent so much time and donated funds to us to make this happen, and it's really the public's building, and we can't wait for them to take ownership of it.
Well, what's different about it from we who remember going to the old museum?
Well, it's a lot bigger. We've doubled our interior size, so that's one thing. We're going to have a new cafe. It's still going to be run by the Marx Brothers, but it's definitely got a more hip Seattle vibe going on in there. A new expanded shop. And one really beautiful thing is in the new building on the fourth floor, we have what we're calling the Chugach Gallery. And it's got the most beautiful views of the Chugach Mountains. And that will be a gallery for temporary exhibits, usually local artists and Alaska artists. And the interesting thing about the expansion actually is kind of two phases. So in May 30th, those sorts of things are going to open up. And then next spring, we're going to be opening up the new Imaginarium Discovery Center and the new Arctic Studies Center, which is going to hold 600 artifacts from the Smithsonian that originally were taken from Alaska.
Oh, that is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then what else is new? Sarah brought in their new gorgeous newsletter. It's in color, and it tells about all the exciting things going on. And I guess it's sort of an incentive perk for people to, now's the time to join.
It really is. We've got a lot of exciting promotions and discounts for members, including on opening day, May 30th, there's going to be a members-only preview from 9 to 11. So only the members will get to be in the museum, and they'll get to be in first. And they'll also be the first visitors into our traveling exhibit, Gold, which opens that day.
What is this exhibit? I know it's gold, but what are the components of it?
It was curated by the American Museum of Natural History in New York, and it includes more than 300 gold objects, so both cultural objects and natural specimens. So people who are into geology will have something to look at. People who are into art and culture will have something to look at. People who are interested in history will have something to look at. And even, you know, folks who are interested in modern day gold cultural icons. We're going to have Susan Sarandon's Oscar, Walter Cronkite's Emmy, contemporary jewelry from Tiffany and Cartier.
Wow.
So everything from, you know, Aztec statuary up through today.
Yeah, King Midas will be wandering around turning everything else into gold. And, boy, you guys have really been thinking outside the box in terms of special offerings. And now I'm thinking about the plays you're going to do. So maybe Ron and Joan can tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm quite honored to have been selected to direct these two short plays for the exhibit. I've got on my hands two terrific plays by Joan and also Tom Moran up in Fairbanks. And we got the final drafts in just this week, and I'm just itching to get some actors up on that stage and start making this stuff work. They're delightful shows.
And obviously world premieres. Joan, why don't you tell us a little bit what your play is about?
Sure. Well, it's a real privilege to work within the context of the subject area, which was the Alaska Gold Rush. And the play that I've worked on is about an Eskimo ivory carver, Happy Jack Anungwazuk, who was originally from Diomede, who ended up making a career for himself as an ivory carver in Nome right before and during the Gold Rush, making really a name for himself and sort of establishing Nome as the epicenter of ivory carving. And looking at Nome, it was a booming metropolis at the Gold Rush time, you know, up to 20,000 people that lived there. So the play really addresses his experience and sort of tells the Ypres story of the Gold Rush through his eyes, but also involves a female character who follows or tries to find her husband who's moved to Nome. So it kind of tells the story both of the woman's experience in the Alaskan Gold Rush as well as the Inupiaq Eskimo experience.
So it's sort of a dual telling. Are you from Nome, Jill?
My family, actually, I'm Kyarmute and Aleutianmute, so my family's from King Island and Mary's Igloo. Of course, relocated to Nome by the BIA in 1959. But so my family is from Nome, but not originally, so... but I grew up here in Anchorage.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I hear that you're originally a poet, too.
I do have a degree in writing and poetry from Columbia, and my first book is coming out this fall. So working on the play has been a great opportunity for me to branch out a little bit and also explore a new genre.
Well, I think poets make great playwrights, as you know. Arlisha Jones is also a poet and just starting to write plays as well.
Right, right. They say that drama is the sister of poetry, so it looks like a good relationship for now.
Right, and I guess novelists should also be poets because they can get to the essence of it,
rather than lots
of spirals.
Right. You know, that said, too, it's been a real great experience to work so closely with Ron, and also to consider how the subject matter fits in the context again of this exhibit, and looking at it as sort of a uniquely Alaskan story as well, and some of the things that are real particular to the experience of Alaskans, and it's been a great opportunity to learn how to develop a short play and think about how this is going to be incorporated into the new museum this summer.
Right. It is two world premieres. So how are you guys thinking about presenting it to the public at the museum?
We're actually building a stage that will be within the exhibit, and we're going to be showing plays four times daily. These plays are short one acts. So we're seeing this as a way to bring to life some of the artifacts that are in the room right next to them.
That's wonderful. I love that.
I should also mention that we're casting this week as well. And I need the actors are a young woman, a young Caucasian woman, a young Caucasian man. And I need two native Alaskan actors to play the other two roles. And that'll be this week. And can I give the contact number?
Oh, absolutely.
And they can call 343-6323 for information about the dates and times of casting.
Can you tell us a little bit about the other play as well, then?
Yeah, Tom's play. During the Gold Rush, I'd read about this years ago. There were some people that got stuck in Dawson in the winter, and they bought bicycles and made their way to Nome on bicycles, an incredibly treacherous and adventurous journey. And this is one hapless soul, a fellow from the Midwest that... gets himself a bicycle and breaks down in Fort Yukon. So he goes to the Richard, the local handyman, who's a very wry and humorous Athabascan guy with so many skills that he can just fix anything. And the dialogue between the two can be fish out of water hilarious.
Oh, boy, we're looking forward to this.
And I really love how these plays are illustrating points that the curators are making in this exhibit. For instance, in Tom's play, at one point, they don't have any metal to repair part of the bicycle. And so eventually, the Athabascan handyman convinces the prospector to hand over a piece of gold to actually repair his bicycle. And what that helps illustrate is there is part of the exhibit that explains that, you know, before the gold rushes, as far as Alaska natives were concerned, gold was pretty useless. I mean, you couldn't wear it. You couldn't eat it. It was too soft and malleable to make tools. And so there was an adjustment period where the Alaska natives were sort of wondering what the fuss was about.
So you're also going to be showing films, pertaining to gold and Gold Rush and just gold in general?
Yes. I mean, we're going to have a whole lecture series this summer. Every Thursday, there's going to be a free lecture in the evening. And those topics range from Gold Rush era cabin music to we've got a really amazing, well-known ship diver, basically, and he worked on the Titanic excavation. Ooh. And he's going to come talk about some of the most famous shipwrecks ever and talk about treasure hunting and those sorts of things. So that lecture series is going to be pretty fascinating. Obviously, we've got the plays daily. We're going to be showing films in our auditorium, including Charlie Chaplin's Gold Rush.
Of course! Talk about a natural.
And we've also got some Gold Rush camps for kids this summer, and there's just a ton. I can't list it all, but if you go to our website, all the program information is on there.
Right, and I just heard your website's gorgeous, too.
Oh, thank you.
Did you design it?
We had a contractor design it, yes. We felt like, partly because of the new expansion, partly because we've just added science to our mission, with those two things, we just felt like the museum was ready for a new look and feel. Yeah.
That makes sense. And how is that in a relationship going to work with the Imaginarium? Because I think that's exciting, too.
Well, we officially merged on paper last summer. The existing Imaginarium facility will be open through this September. Mm-hmm. And then all the staff's going to be moving over to the Anchorage Museum. And then their new facility is going to open up next spring. And in the meantime, we've got an exhibit that they're putting together that will run in the Anchorage Museum called Science in Toyland. And it uses things like dominoes and tops and race cars to explain things like physics. So that's going to be pretty exciting. But the new Imaginarium Center is just going to be unbelievable. I don't think I can. I've read about it and read about it, and I still kind of can't imagine how big it's going to be. Yeah. And it's going to be very high tech, mm-hmm. very hands on, more than 70 exhibits. And a lot of the exhibits are being created specifically for the Imaginarium, and they're going to be specific to Alaska. For instance, we're going to have an earthquake shake table. So you can build your own little building, and then it's going to have a bunch of historical Alaska earthquakes programmed into it. So you can push the earthquake from 64 and see how your building holds up.
That's great. And of course, there'll be occasional volcanoes erupting and
we
things
do.
Like that.
We have a volcano as well. And we have a display on cook and lit clay, and that actually demonstrates how and why it liquefies.
What a gift to our community, and how exciting for our young people all this is, especially. So are you still focusing on some of the families that were the pioneers of Alaska? I know you had this exhibit about the pioneer families of Alaska.
Oh, yes. In the Gold Rush exhibit, do you mean?
Well, I guess it's not specifically Gold Rush, although some people might have come during that era. But it are the people who, you know, the names that are familiar now because, you know, in Alaska, so young.
Well, you know, our Alaska gallery hasn't changed.
That would be the same.
And that is still, you know, we say that tells the history of Alaska from 10,000 years ago through today. And that gallery is very dear to us, and it's very important to our visitors, and that isn't going away.
Well, good. And speaking of the indigenous people of Alaska, you know, we do also have the wonderful Heritage Center. So are you guys continuing that relationship too?
Yes, we are. We do have the Culture Pass every summer from mid-May to mid-September. And it's a discounted price, so you buy one ticket, and it's admission to both facilities. And it includes a free shuttle between the two facilities.
That's fabulous for the visitors in particular.
It is. Yes. They love it. It's very convenient.
Well, Dick, do you have any thoughts or questions?
I'm curious about the new Imaginarium and your relationship to them. So their new space will not open for a year?
It'll be open next spring, yes.
And so you'll be doing an Imaginarium in the new museum for the first year?
Yes, exactly.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And their staff is just too well-educated and too good with kids to let them, you know, just sit in offices for a year. We wouldn't do that to them.
The Museum of Arts and Sciences.
And history.
And history. Oh, yeah. And by the way, history. And living history by these plays you're doing as well. So maybe you'll continue doing theater offerings, you think?
We hope to. I mean, this is a growing trend in the museum world, is to include some sort of living history play with a major exhibit. And this is kind of our first foray into it. And if it goes well, we hope to do this again and again. And, you know, part of it is helping us, you know, bring history to people on a relatable level. Part of it also fulfills our mission to the arts community, to support the arts community, to provide, you know, local playwrights with a paying gig and local actors with a paying gig. I mean, that's part of our mission as well, and it's very important to us.
And directors with a paying gig. Which I must say, we're envious that you guys have the budget to do that. I think that's very wonderful.
We just have wonderful supporters. We're very fortunate.
Well, as a person who works in the local theaters, the movie theater that you have in the present museum is a wonderful space. And I realize it doesn't have any wings. Nonetheless, I've often sat in there looking at a movie thinking, maybe we should do a play in here someday. Has anybody ever done live theater in that space? And would that be something the museum might consider down the road?
You know, historically, I don't know the background on the auditorium as far as live performances go, but I don't think we're counting anything out at this point. I mean, we really are a fresh new place, and we're looking for new ideas every day. So let's do lunch, Dick.
There you go. Well, and movies for them.
Do lunch with Sandy, and then she'll tell me what to do. That's the way that works around here.
But Movies for the Mind, of course, will continue. That's a fabulous, successful series.
We're very fortunate to have Rand Thornsley book that for us.
The guy.
He's just got an excellent taste level, really.
Well, we used to be partners with Rand when he had the Capri. Mm. And of course, he's the guy for at the Beartooth now.
Yes.
He's responsible for our Monday, so he's the catalytic guy. And loves film, of course. So Joan, have you not started rehearsals yet, I gather, because you're still casting. But will you be able to be there during the process?
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking as someone that grew up in Anchorage and now we live about 20 minutes walk away from the museum, it's such an exciting time, you know, to see this sort of renaissance in downtown Anchorage, and also as a Native person to be included, you know, as part of this living history, and to really have the opportunity to make the arts and make the museum accessible on another level, which is that, you know, you can walk in every day, every business day this summer, and see two plays that are directly related to the Alaska Native experience here in Alaska. But it is really exciting to be able to, you know, head right downtown and see new theater and to be a part of this new process with the museum reopening.
Right. Well, this isn't going to be shameless, but I do hope you see Time Immemorial before it
goes. Well, it's just right around the corner. It's very convenient. You can go to the museum, see an exhibit, a little theater, maybe have some dinner, and then right around the corner, there's Cyrano's for the evening performance.
There you go. For those that remember, Sarah Henning was the wonderful arts writer for the Anchorage Daily News for quite some time before she took this position. And as she pointed out, the table, opposite side of the table now. We're getting to interview Sarah. But what else does your job entail? I hear that you're sharing what's going on. Do you get to help with the planning of what's going on as well?
We have a fantastic curatorial team and education team, and they're really the experts when it comes to pulling together the sort of information that people not only need to know, but also want to know. So my job is just making sure that people know about it and getting them through the door.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, there's just, with this expansion, there's just so many amazing stories to tell. I think, for instance, with the Smithsonian Arctic Studies Center, we've been working on this project for 7 years with the Smithsonian, and this is an unprecedented loan from them. And, the process has been fascinating because we've taken Alaska Native representatives, taken them to Washington, D.C. They actually handpicked most of the pieces that are going to be in this exhibit. And these include some of the oldest things that the Smithsonian owns and some very rare pieces as well. For instance, there's going to be an 1800s era Tlingit war helmet that's wood. I mean, a lot of these things just kind of rotted. Even people who took them out of Alaska once they left, I mean, these things kind of rotted and deteriorated. To have something like that that's in such good shape and have it come back to Alaska where, I mean, most Alaska people have never seen anything like it. We're very fortunate.
Well, there's an emotional and a spiritual tie to all these pieces as well.
Yes, and we've specially built the cases so they can be opened without damaging the pieces, and so that we can work closely with Alaska Native scholars and elders. If they need to get their hands on something or get a closer look at something, we can make that happen for them.
Oh, that's really wonderful. Yeah.
Joan, you mentioned earlier that you have a book of poetry coming out. Tell us about that, and I'm curious. Of course, you're not a poet is not the best person to write the blurb on the back of the book, but if I picked up the book, what would the blurb say about you, the poet?
I think I've been fortunate so far. Some of my former teachers and colleagues from when I lived in the city in New York would say that although my work definitely refers to and is located in my sense of place and my sense of identity being formed by my heritage and where my ancestors are from on the Seward Peninsula, where my family is from, that I tend to work outside of these very familiar tropes, you know, these almost romanticized tropes and sort of archaic ideas of nature that people tend to associate with Native people. Our environment is changing. Our land is changing and our role in it is changing. And I think that it could be described as identity in place that is explored in the book of poetry. But I think more from a lyric perspective. So it's not autobiographical. It's not completely narrative. And I think that I'm able to explore these themes pretty fully in poetry as opposed to another genre.
Do you feel the need as a poet to uproot that sort of romantic notion that European descendants have about indigenous peoples? They live by nature, they're spiritually and all that. This is a myth you'd like to uproot, huh?
A little bit. I mean, at least one that I'd like to challenge and ask people to think about. And I think that, you know, we do have an opportunity to do that now. I think there is a growing dialogue and people, even this week with the Indigenous Climate Change Conference, I think people are beginning to understand that our role and our relationship to the natural world is one that is changing every day now. I think of my own relatives, my uncles, who are all very well-known ivory carvers. King Islanders haven't actually managed to harvest a walrus, an ivory-bearing walrus, for the past two summers, which was highlighted in the Washington Post last year. But that's the place where we're at now with our culture and with our sense of who we are as artists and as human beings. You know, our world is changing, and it's a good opportunity to be able to, again, tell that not directly through my own experience, but as a poet to begin to look at it through different personas and different different ways of approaching it and different ways of telling it that don't have to be about me, but rather about others. So.
Is the character in your play an actual relative of yours then?
No, Happy Jack was from Diomede, and my family is from Oweewa, King Island, and Kwerek. So, I do have an uncle that did have a Diomede name, and we did have relatives on Diomede, but he was not a relative of mine, Happy Jack. He's a pretty well-known historical figure, and unfortunately, I can't claim lineage to him. But he was a fascinating man.
Well, of course, not many more people will be aware of Happy Jack and his work. Will some of his pieces be at the museum, I wonder?
I don't think we have any artifacts of his exactly. Do we?
Yep. And that was actually one of the things that the curators of the exhibit were so happy to see when they initially read my play as a submission to the play contest, the script contest for it, was that even the curators didn't really know about Happy Jack, but were able to go back and see that he is pretty well known. I think I first encountered his work at the National Jewish Museum in Manhattan. So he's pretty well known. He was really, you know, quite an established ivory carving figure. And you do have pieces, which I think one of the curators has mentioned perhaps incorporating into the play this summer as well.
That's fabulous. So was that an inspiring moment when you went to this museum in New York?
Sure, it was. I think that's the thing. Another sort of element about the Gold Rush is that it really, you know, is really a lot of people's first encounter with Inupiaq people, with Arctic cultures, and really being able to see these items that, you know, made their way from Nome all the way across the world.
And real live human beings and artists created them.
Right.
So that's great. Well, you know, the other thing about the museum, and I've often thought if I had spare time, I'd want to do this, to be a docent. So I guess training the docents for the new opening is also an exciting endeavor.
Oh, our docents are so excited, and we just owe them the world. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do a lot of the things we do without our volunteers. And our docents are very well trained. They go to training every Monday through the whole school year. So, and a lot of these folks are former history teachers, former art teachers. I mean, these are very well-versed folks, and we're very lucky to have them.
Yeah, are you looking for more volunteers to be docents?
Always.
So there's a casting call for docents out there as well. That's wonderful. Well, is there anything else that we haven't mentioned that you are bursting to share with us and you want everyone to know?
Well, you know, we haven't talked about the grounds, and that's something that, you know, Sandy, since you're one of our neighbors that might interest you, our entire front of the museum is going to be planted this summer with an urban birch forest. And then we've carved out little pathways and little nooks. So it's going to be a wonderful place to just, if it's a sunny day, take your lunch, sit on a bench, enjoy a little bit of nature. We just really felt like that end of town just could really use a little sanctuary. So we're pretty excited about that. And the architect really designed, you know, that shiny glass facade was his way of making sure that the building still connected with the nature around it, because he was very inspired by the mountains. And on the right days with the right sun, you can see the mountains reflected in the building, or the on the other side, the downtown cityscape reflected in the building. So we really wanted to incorporate that nature into our grounds as well. So.
Yeah, let's just take.
Oh, I thought he was just trying to match the gray of winter.
I'm sure Kelsey Woodward's going to be there in a corner with his easel. You know, he's famous for painting birches. And, you know, that is something I think the original City Fathers were lax in retaining of the beauty and green spaces and in the city when they were first designing it. If it was designed, I guess it was, A Street, B Street. C Street.
Kind of a design.
That's great. And I assume there'll be birch candy for sale in the gift shop.
Well, you know, actually, for the gold exhibit, Georgia Blue, our enterprise director, has pulled together an entire separate gold shop. And she has commissioned, we're going to have Alaska Native artists who've done some gold work, some artists up in Fairbanks who've done, and not just jewelry, but also little art pieces as well. And we've had a special coin minted.
And
we've
great.
Got gold digger kits for kids, and it'll be a fun
gold digger
shop.
Kits for ladies. I'm thinking.
I think maybe we can find a t-shirt for you that says that.
Well, our time is running short here. Let's just get some dates out there we might have mentioned earlier. When do we open? When will people be able to go into the museum and see the plays, and what might be the schedule to see those plays? So let's review the upcoming summer dates.
Well, the grand opening of the new museum is May 30th. And as I mentioned before, that first day is going to be free admission to everyone thanks to a generous donation from Wells Fargo. And the gold exhibit is going to run May 30th through August 2nd. And you'll be able to see our new plays daily from May 30th through the last day of July. And we've got four time slots, I believe, Ron. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. It'd be four times a day. And, yeah, I encourage people to come out and audition this week for us. And once again, the phone number for that is 343-6323.
And the website for the museum?
AnchorageMuseum.org.
Well, that's easy.
We're also on Facebook and YouTube, so come visit us.
Oh, man, you're social networking. And I heartily recommend everybody to join or rejoin the museum. It's so very exciting right now, and we're also proud of all the people, time, effort, and funders who made this possible, in particular the Rasmussens. And I understand Mary Louise Rasmussen will be there for the opening.
Oh, we're excited to have her at the opening. Yep.
Well, thank you all for being our guest, and join us again next month for the Alaska Radio Wiener Rambler.